Let's talk cards. Zach Blackerby, Jamie Crossan, hanging out with you today on today's edition of Let's Talk Cards. All right, we got a few fun segments we're going to roll out today that you have just been pumping out stuff, which is awesome. But let's start with the biggest news in the hobby, and it is Logan Paul's Holy Grail of Pokemon cards sells for $16.5 million on Golden. He bought it a few years ago for like five something, flipped it to $16.5 million. Insane.
That's not a grail, Zach. That's Mount Everest. That is the Mount Everest of cards, buddy. I mean, what's your first reaction? One sentence. When you learn this broke every record. This broke the record that was set a few months ago by O'Leary when they bought that group that he put together, bought the Logo Man Kobe Jordan Auto PSA right. 8 for 12 point something million. So reaction in one sentence. Does any sports card ever touch this?
Eventually, I think so. I think so. But I don't know what. I don't know what it would be, but I do think eventually something will. Sure. I mean, this is a market-shifting deal where I haven't seen – I was looking at it before we clicked record. Like, I want to know who bought it. You know, because it came out shortly after when O'Leary bought it. It's like he came out, I was like, yeah, it's mine. Then he went on all these talk shows talking about the future of investing and collectibles and assets and all of that. But – I mean, this is the most famous card, and I mean, you can say what you want about Logan Paul. The guy knows how to market, right? When he's walking out there, and he's got it, you know, in that diamond necklace. It's an awesome case, but man, it's that's just so much money, for the most expensive collectible in the world.
Yeah, speaking to marketing, man, he wore it to WrestleMania in his match. He came out with the Pikachu. I mean, talk about. Brand recognition for the hobby, right? I mean, they're but $16.5 million. I actually saw the guy who bought it on Golden. Oh, okay. I can't remember his name though. It's a little hard to pronounce. But his dad was involved in politics or something. I don't know.
Okay, so it is public there. Got it. Must not be like public. Well known figure or whatever. Which is
no
fine. That might make it even more legitimate, honestly. But this card was on display, like right when you walked in the door to Collecticon in Atlanta. Last week? So, like, I saw it in person, like a few days ago, which is kind of crazy.
Was it in one of those cases, like kind of surrounded off?
It was
in a case,
and it was kind of like hanging from the diamond chain or whatever. It was a great setup, great publicity for Golden too.
Sure. Sure. So here's the question. Who are the big winners of this sale? Is it Logan Paul? Is it the guy who bought it? Or is it Golden Auctions?
I don't think it's the guy who bought it.
Yeah.
Logan absolutely is.
Right.
Gold. I mean, yeah. And I mean, I don't know what Golden's cut of that is, but I'm sure they had a nice payday too. And I mean, he was on Logan Paul's like live stream when the auction was ending, Golden was there next to him. Like he got some incredible publicity with this too. Like I think he really benefited from Logan and all of this. So yeah, I would say Golden and Logan for sure.
Yeah.
Like if this, I don't know, a few years ago, if you resell this, can you get $20 million for it? Like, I just don't know, Jamie. I have no clue.
No, I mean, to me, I think the thing that stands out, at least for this time, for the time being, is that the TCG world, Pokemon, sits on the throne of the card world at this point, holding the title of biggest sale in the history of the hobby. And that's got to be, I mean, you've got to think about in terms of maybe, I don't know, man, you're more plugged into the TCG market than I am, but 10 years ago, did this seem fathomable? Did this seem possible?
No, I mean, Logan bought this 5 years ago, which was like peak COVID, for like 5.2, as I'm reading an article about it here. Mm-hmm. And just to flip it for just 5 years later for $10 million, like I'm sure more is coming. And for folks wondering, it's a Pikachu Illustrator card. So it's a trainer, which is fascinating. But this says 39 were created. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And as an extra perk, Logan threw in the diamond encasement, the necklace for free.
How kind.
That was really nice of him.
How kind.
Really nice.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable yeah. stuff. So, for all right, sure. Where are we headed next, Jamie?
Man, we talked about, you and I were chatting about, we have made mistakes. So this is a little segment that I affectionately refer to as hobby confessional. And so in this little segment, you and I are going to just kind of bare our souls a little bit. Forgive us, hobby, for we have sinned. We're going to confess our purchases that we've blown. Man, a time where we bought a card. It can be recently. It can be in history. I'm going recent. I'm going like present day with some recent purchase, or one recent purchase in particular that I've made that I just blew it.
Okay.
And so I think, and then I would love to hear, just so I'm not alone on this island of irrelevancy, I'd love to hear any blown sales that you might have. So I sure. bought about a month ago a Ladd McConkey 1/1 certified, found it on Whatnot. I spent what I thought was a pretty good rate. I looked at comparable comps in that
auto or just their normal. I forgot what it's called.
Just a normal, one of one.
Platinum mm-hmm. or whatever. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. So 1/1. I've not owned many 1/1s. I kind of stray away from those just because they're just so difficult. I hate to sound like the comp police or that I'm like enslaved to comps. I'm not. But I do lean on them quite a bit.
They're and tricky,
I
was looking, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I paid $186 for the Ladd McConkey. Not bad. I mean, rookie. I felt like, no, it was second year.
Okay.
And so, and full confessional, since we're bearing our souls, I actually didn't realize it was a second year in the midst of bidding. I think I realized it about with 10 seconds left
yeah.
in the Whatnot stream that I bought it from, you know,
yeah, using why am my I tools. About to get this for $180? Yeah, sure.
Right. And so I hit 180 and I was like, well, I could sell this. I could probably make $30 or $40, $50, $60 off of it if I find the right buyer.
Have you moved it?
Oh, I moved it.
What'd you move it for?
Well, I sold that $186 investment for $96. And so it
really?
Mm-hmm.
How long did you have it?
I had it for about a month. I ran that thing through about 4 or 5 sales and no one was touching. I ran it as a claim. I toy with the price, try to drop it a little bit, open to offers. And then I ran it as an auction just because I was tired of messing with it. Started it at $1
through Facebook.
Thinking, yeah.
Auction through Facebook.
Yep. And gotcha. Had a lot of eyes on it. I mean, I probably had 28, 29 bids and, yeah. Sold it for 96. So, you know, the lesson is always, is anytime you can invest $186 to make 96, you definitely want to do that. So that's wow, my,
I'm surprised. Yeah. I'm surprised by that. I don't.
Yeah. It sucked, man. It was terrible. Real quick story too.
Oh, the story I'm about to tell is way worse than that. So you're good.
Oh, I'm really, this is another, and this, the lesson in this, Zach, the lesson in it is even if you can find a comp, like I did with this next card, I'll tell you about just real quick. It's a Robin Yount game use patch, out of 25. There was a direct comp for this card for
Robin Yount.
Yeah. The Hall of Fame base. The Hall of Fame baseball player. To my point, who is that? Great question, Zach. And as an older guy that likes baseball and that grew up in the 80s and 90s, I know uh-huh. who Robin Yount is. So Robin Yount's a Hall of Famer. You can Google him. You can look at some stats. Hall of Fame baseball
you.
Player.
I believe yeah. you.
Man, I had a game-worn patch and a direct comp for like $100. I'll have you know, that people don't care about Robin Yount at all. So on that note,
was it like a modern card or was it older?
No, it was older. It was older card. But
one of those out of like museum or five star or anything like that.
It was actually and I'm pulling it up right now. It was a Baseball Heroes game use patch out of 25. I had a price tag of 100. It had sold for like 115, 120, something like that. And I invested $54 into it. And, you know, after investing that 54, I made 25. So once again, anytime you can invest some money, I mean, then make half that.
Both of those cards are like, they're probably worth that. You just got to take them to shows and like keep them in your showcase and hope the right person walks up. That's just, and there's right. pros and cons of that to doing that, you know, to just moving it or to keep it, you know, just kind of, there's arguments for both. So I don't think any of those are like absolutely absurd, but
it made me feel real bad. Real bad. It was hard. That $186 to get 90. Oh, it sucked. That was terrible.
I bought, I'll do two as well. One is, one I guess is like investing in a set, and then one is an individual card. So after the rookie market started to cool down for CJ Stroud's rookie year, I bought a CJ Stroud silver prism variation. PSA 10.
Okay.
Comps at the time were like $480 to $500. I bought it for like $380. I bought it for like $100 under comps.
Right.
This is awesome. And then every sale after that was like $200. I'm like, wow. And this is when we were starting out, and like I think variation, and I'm like, this is more rare.
Sure.
And that's not really how like people don't really seem to like the variations too much. And so like that was just being new at the time and not really understanding it. So I kept it for a while. I kept it for years, Jamie, because really? I'm like, years. I think CJ Stroud's good. Yeah. And the hobby just kind of like, you know, is meh on him. And then he wins a playoff game his second season last year, not this past season, but like last year. And I'm looking at him like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And they didn't get up past like 250. And I'm like, man. Like, I'll just sit on it. Like, I don't need it. It's been in a box, whatever.
Right.
And then this past year, like a month ago, 2 months ago, he wins a playoff game again. And he got a little bit of a bump, not as much. And I'm like, okay, this is like he's going to lose to the Patriots next week, which I was right on. Right. And so I just took it to Dallas. I'm like, people in Dallas, maybe he'll have, you know, people that want it there.
Houston fans, right.
Sold it for $90.
Oh.
So about a $300 loss there.
Oh, that hurts.
And what makes it worse is I held it through several windows where it would have made more sense to move it and just like have the money. But, oh, well. Whatever. Oh. So that's probably my biggest like flip loss for sure. And then this one's like still in progress, so we'll see. But my favorite set ever is Bowman Chrome U. I love it.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what year, I love it. And instead of like getting in all these breaks, I'm like, I'm just gonna buy a case of it. I'm gonna buy a case of hobby boxes. So I bought a case of hobby box. I think that I bought it from Tops. I like set an alarm and like I was refreshing the page. I bought it directly from Tops. And I paid like $1.8K. And it was like the worst case ever. It was awful. There was like one good QB auto and it was a base Lenora Sellers.
Like,
dang it. But I've sent all the stuff off that was gradable to the PSA, and so we'll see what happens. I'll keep it in the vault there and sell it during the draft. But yeah, there's no way I make that 1.8 plus grading back. There's no way. There's no
gambling.
Way.
Oh, you're a gambler.
So that's a bad one too. And I'm not really a gambler. I thought, I mean, it was a bad case, Jamie.
Yeah,
and like, I've watched countless breaks of that product, and I don't think I've seen a case that's as bad as the one I had. But
whatever. Do you wish if you could go back, do you wish you could like run a break yourself? Would that be the play if you were to do it again? I know you don't like whatnot and, you know, streaming, that's a lot of work. But if you had to do over again, would you consider doing a break?
No, I don't think my strategy was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I got unlucky with it.
Yeah, sorry, man. Maybe that's around the time we became friends and it may have rubbed off.
Another aspect of that is the college market for cards, it was picking up steam. Last year's Bowman Chrome is like my favorite product ever. Last year's. Okay. This year's is interesting because it came out the same time as it normally does. But most of the big players in there, it's either not their first Bowman or they've hit the portal since the product came out.
Right.
And this is a small sample size because we haven't seen many classes of it, but I'm basing this a lot off of Cam Ward's market last year. And people would rather have so Cam Ward's first Bowman is with Washington State. Mm-hmm. And then obviously he had cards with Miami going into the draft. And everybody wanted his Miami stuff, not his first Bowman stuff. His Miami stuff cost more than his first Bowman stuff did with Washington State. So a lot of the times when those guys leave and go somewhere else, their cards of their like old school's uniform are worth nothing. They're not worth anything. Nobody wants it. So because the people that collect that school, they don't want it because that player left them. And then if somebody's collecting that player, the new school or whatever, or if he gets drafted to their NFL team, they want the most recent one. They don't want the old one. So that's a problem. They need to have it come out like right when the season starts. But
yeah, I think the portal is
on that.
Well, they should, because I think the portal is going to effectively slay
or have it come out right now.
Right.
Leading into the draft, which is kind of what they do with Bowman Chrome U basketball, is they release it like during March Madness or right before it. But
yeah, to your point, a guy was talking to me online and I told him, I was a huge Auburn fan and he has two Auburn cards, he tells me, are two Auburn players, but they're not really with the team anymore, Deuce Knight and Cam Coleman. And I'm like, yeah, man, I would probably look at the Leaf Coleman.
They've got a lot of Leaf stuff.
Yeah, I think it's the Leaf product.
Dude, I was so upset when Cam Coleman wasn't in Bowman Chrome this year.
Oh, I know. I can't believe it.
But man, I would have spent so much money on his cards. I'm glad he wasn't.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But I mean, to your point, the point that you're making is, I mean, you're going to get him in an Auburn uniform, and then he's probably going to be prolific at Texas. I mean, I wish Cam all the best. He's a dynamic. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he'll be great in that system for sure.
And so you think if he skyrockets there, then, you may, to your point, Auburn guys aren't really going to want that as much. Texas guys will probably latch onto those cards, but then
– until his Texas stuff comes out.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
Right.
So – yeah.
Yeah, it's just wild though, because even the clearly we're Auburn guys, but like with that product, there were three Auburn players in it. Darrell Robinson, who's left, played like five snaps for Auburn, exaggerating a little bit, but it's not much higher.
That's right.
Eric Singleton, I have so much of his stuff at PSA, it's just worthless now. And then Keldrick Falk, who's going to the draft. His stuff will move when he gets drafted. But yeah, just for crazy. Sure.
It'll stuff. Probably move with me. I'll probably buy some of that from you.
I have one of his one of ones there. So
yeah, let me know if you want it. Are you gonna sell it?
Yes.
Okay, great. Talk to me because I will talk with you about that.
Yes.
So we're moving on to in celebration of your grail a couple of weeks ago. You mentioned it a little earlier. Yes.
Skyridge Celebi PSA 10, yes.
We are affectionately referring to this segment as the Skyridge Celebi Gawk Award. And I'll say it again.
I'm really proud of you because you didn't know what a Skyridge Celebi was like a week ago.
No, I know. I mean, after you showed me the error of my ways, the Skyridge Celebi Gawk Award. To our knowledge, at this point, in this juncture, I think it's a safe bet to say that between our two collections, our personal collections, everything we're flipping, the Skyridge Celebi currently has the title of most expensive, most valuable card. So we call this the Skyridge Celebi Gawk Award.
All right.
So
we're just showing off something from the PC. Is that what we're doing?
That's what we're doing. So, I mean, I think it makes sense in honor of this inaugural award that one more time you take this opportunity to show myself, the people at home, this amazing card. Skyward Celebi Gawk Award.
Do I show you the Celebi or something else?
I think you show me both, man, but show me the Celebi. There we are.
There it is. I think most of the people tuning in are going to be sports folks, so I'll move to sports. I'm cheating a little bit. I'm doing two. Okay. It's two cards, but they have to go together. Okay. They have to go together. And it's both finites, rookie finites of Ramondre Stevenson. One is an auto, then one is the true prism. Both one of ones, only ones in the world. I have both of them.
Interestingly enough, you got some shout outs, I guess, on Instagram recently, right? For those two cards. Wasn't it?
Yes. During the Super Bowl, Card Ladder posted the auto one.
Yeah.
The auto one, and compared it to the Kenneth Walker, his one of one. The number that they use for the Ramondre sale is not what I paid for it, thankfully. But yeah, that was pretty crazy. Like a brand as big as Card Ladder in the hobby posting about a card that is yours. It's like, because there's only one of them. That's pretty crazy.
Really crazy. And you saw it right here on Let's Talk Cards.
That's right.
Here we go. My Gawk Award. This is the card you can't stop staring at. I've taken this one to a couple of shows just as eye candy. This card is really special to me because I call this the 8-card GOAT auto. It may be a little backwards, but you've got Lionel Messi,
Curry, Phelps, Carlos
Alcaraz, okay, the number one tennis player in the world.
Then McGregor, Sean White, Floyd Mayweather, Josh Allen. Holy cow, what a card.
One of one. So
that's absurd. Look,
isn't that crazy? Great card. That's my and it's interesting. My three best cards, two of them are Leaf product and two of them are 8-card autos. That being one, another, I have an NBA Legends Hall of Fame 8-card auto. And then obviously the LeBron James patch auto, 1 of 50, is kind of the king of the hill for me. But what's interesting is this card here, the one I just showed you, the eight card GOAT auto, gets more attention than those other two. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you don't see that. Like, you see LeBron autos and all that at tables. Like, if you go to a pretty decent sized card show, those are all over the place. You don't see that stuff. That's crazy. Good for you, man. That's sick.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Sick. Yeah. Yours too. Well, this is fun.
Cool. That was fun.
Yeah.
All right. We'll, we're aiming to post another one. We're aiming to go to two a week. So please like, please subscribe. Helps the show out a ton. If you're listening on audio, please leave us 5 stars and a review. Helps the show out a ton. Jamie Crossan, Zach Blackerby. This has been Let's Talk Cards.